T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You want to see Loco?
Friday! Yep! International Beer Day!
Woohoo! I don't need to go international. I got to go to Oakland Park and go to Funky Buddha.
International Beer Day, Friday. We always do it extra special on a Friday. Now, I wish I had better news about the Panthers game. This could feel more celebratory if the Panthers, say, had a lead going into the third period, but they don't. So they're in the second intermission right now. Panthers are down 3-1, and that game is on our sister station, 560 WQAM. The Joe will certainly keep you updated, but Panthers are down 3-1. They've got one period left in the season if they cannot at least tie this game. So we'll keep an eye on it. Tell you, Bobrovsky, I don't know if you've watched any of the game, but Bobrovsky has not had a bad game. The first goal he let in was terrible. I mean, just terrible. And obviously, an elimination game, you probably can't afford to let in any terrible goals. But and the third one that he let in wasn't great, per se. But I don't...
majority of them were bad? I like your excitement, huh?
I'm a glasses half full kind of guy. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on it. What happened, Solana? So yesterday, we're doing the show, and the Heat are beating up on the Milwaukee Bucks, and we're making fun of the Bucks, and we're talking about Solomon Hill is the Giannis stopper. And so... The show ended. It was 6 o'clock. I went right to play basketball with my son. I didn't watch the end of the game. I remember at the end of the game, what was it, about Heat 6 point or 3 point lead, something like that?
Yeah, about 7 minutes left when we were off the air. The Heat still had the lead. They were clinging on for dear life, but they still had the lead.
And then, so what happened? Like, I went to play basketball. By the time I got back, it's like one of the worst losses you've ever. And by the way, the loss isn't that bad, because they didn't have Jimmy Butler, they didn't have Goran Dragic, and Milwaukee was playing with Giannis. But the fact that you had a 20-plus point lead, yes, and blew it is the part that obviously is disturbing to everybody. But what happened, Solana?
So in the first half, the Heat were hitting shots. In the late stretch of that fourth quarter, the Heat didn't hit shots.
That was it? Their shots weren't falling?
Yeah, I mean, you really saw why Giannis is the MVP, the most dominating player in the NBA right now. He flipped a switch. I think the Heat did a really good job at pressuring him in the first half, making him uncomfortable. He settled in the second half, especially late in the fourth quarter. The Heat got sloppy. They needed a closer, Jimmy Butler, to really slow down the offense, get them some easy points. I know Crowder would disagree with that, but you see where in the first half, your shooters are going to make shots. Even high energy is going to get you a 20-point lead, but late in games, when you're playing against the best team arguably in the NBA, you need your star player to be in the game. And the Heat were missing Goran and Jimmy Butler.
I agree with you 100%, Solana. I agree with you on this one, because Chris Middleton, he dropped 33 as well. He went off in the second half. Our stars weren't there. You saw it in that second half. Yeah. We were missing our stars. Just none's down right now. Leonard's on the bench. You know, he's not even playing a lot of our guys. Yes, our stars were not there, Solana. You're 100% correct. I do not agree with you.
Yeah, no, you've got to be able to combat star with star. And whether it's going to be Jimmy Butler doing, you know, point-wise what Giannis does or not, you still got to be able to combat star with star. Well, who are you combating Giannis with if Jimmy Butler's out and Goran Dragic is out and Chris Middleton is playing, Giannis is playing. Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, what do you, you know, but that, the only part that makes it disappointing, like, had they gotten their asses kicked, but Butler and Goran were out, you really wouldn't give it a second thought. It was the fact that they had such a big lead, and we were joking about how the Bucks are scared of the Heat.
But yeah. So, and you saw it too. Like Solana said, you saw why Giannis was the MVP. Bro, he did a spin move at the three-point line and didn't dribble again and dunked. Did y'all see that? That was one of the most amazing things I've seen in a long time. Like, yeah. He doesn't need to set up the offense and get the weak side rotation to swing it around to dunking. Giannis took the ball, did a spin move, and dunked from the three-point line. Like, come on, man.
And you mentioned Nunn there, Crowder. Look, Kendrick Nunn has had a phenomenal season. He's probably second in the rookie MVP or rookie of the year race behind Ja Morant. And you can make the case for Zion if you want.
I will.
He's 7 of 30 from the field the last three games. He's shooting 23%, 4 of 18 from three. That's 22%. He is, I think, the second worst net rating on the team. So that's kind of a thing now. Like Kendrick Nunn, whether, you know, a slow start in the bubble, whatever it is, like, we're going to see Spo's going to have to make a decision. Play the young guy, see if he can carry you, or maybe sit Kendrick Nunn. Like, that's going to be a thing moving forward, and especially when Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic are healthy, you can't have a guy out there, a rookie especially, who's struggling in these pivotal games. You just can't have that out there.
You mentioned Giannis there a couple of times. Do you have the new mispronunciation? So Solana did a great job putting everything together.
I don't.
You don't have it?
I don't.
Why didn't you have it? It's such a great mispronunciation. It's Fat Joe trying to say Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it came out about as well as Rick Ross saying Tua Tagovailoa. All right, we'll get that later in the show. We'll revisit our Giannis mispronunciations. Islanders leading the Panthers right now, still 3-1, just 2 minutes gone in the third period. Panthers are on the door of being eliminated. Let's get headlines here with our own Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, about 2 minutes into the third period, Islanders lead 3-1, so the Panthers facing elimination unless they can pull something out of the bag here.
Got to get something out of the bag.
Who has the bag?
I don't know, but if whoever has the bag, please bring the bag to Sasha Barkov. Whoever has the bag, please bring the bag to Sasha Barkov.
Take it easy. Now, don't hide. Let's find the bag. This isn't Easter with eggs. Find the bag. Come on.
This is a bench check. Does Noel Achari have the bag? Noel Achari, do you have the bag?
I was at a game. We had a game. Noel Achari had a damn hat trick. Come on, Nola.
He had back-to-back hat tricks. Remember
that? Yeah, we
were
at one of those damn games. Yeah.
First move out of the bag. Pull the goalie, Crowder. Just do it. Just pull the goalie.
I'm with you now. Solana, you rolling today, baby.
You are speaking Crowder's language, man.
Pull the goalie.
The Heat did lose.
I'll tell you, though, they will pull the goalie with about 5 minutes to go in this game if they're still down 3-1 because it's an elimination game, so it doesn't matter. So I'd say in about 10 minutes, they'll pull the goalie.
Yeah, and in 11 minutes, they'll be down 4-1. That's typically what happens when you pull the goalie.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm not with you.
The right. Heat did lose yesterday to the Bucks. They play the Suns tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Jimmy Butler officially ruled out, third straight game he'll miss here in the bubble. And Goran
Dragic,
making
you nervous?
Questionable. A little, yeah. But yeah. Also at the same time, these seeding games don't mean much for the Heat. I mean, they could have gotten the three seed, but...
But the seeding games do get you into game shape.
Correct.
And you know, you have a five-month layoff. You know, those eight games, to me, are preseason heading into the postseason, essentially. And so, yeah, I'd love to see Jimmy Butler playing.
In that same note, though, what's more important? Being healthy come playoff
time?
Well,
sure. No, right. I get you. Yeah. I get you.
The Marlins, they swept the Baltimore Orioles. They beat
unbelievable.
Them 8-7 yesterday.
It's unbelievable. Crazy. It's unbelievable.
Five straight wins for
what
the Marlins.
What planet are we on? How is this possible?
They feed off COVID. They're the COVID team.
They eat it up and spit it out as home runs.
It encouraged them. Goodness gracious.
God, I cannot believe they are 6-1. Don Mattingly becomes the winningest manager in Marlins history last night. Every time Baltimore took a lead, the Marlins answered right back. When I say right back, it is staggering what the Marlins are doing.
And they answer with "oh boy," because that's what we were all calling them, because we don't know their names. Oh boy, caught that one.
I have a radio game show. I went back in my archives. Like, I have all these different drafts of stuff, and I was working on a game show. I'm going to see this like a week ago. A game show called "Old Boy," based on, and it would be like, you know, "Old Boy played goalie for the Panthers, retired." They actually just retired his number up into the rafters. Who's Old Boy?
Luongo.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That was the whole game. Old Boy grew up in Minnesota, built a recording studio in the heart of Minneapolis, and passed away too early at the age of 50. Who is Old Boy?
Purple Rain. Prince.
Yeah. Prince. Yeah. I got all these old boys like ready to roll. Yeah. We got to play Old Boy one day. Remember we were in like a 2-week phase where everybody was Old Boy. Old Boy this, Old Boy that.
Old Boy showing out. That's what's happening with the Marlins. Old boy showing out.
Old boy is showing out with the Marlins.
And I think one of you said it yesterday. Old boys are fun, right? Like, it's not
they
just
are.
That they're
They really are.
The old boys
yeah,
are fun.
They're fun. Well, because you have no expectations. The expectations, what was it? The over-under in a 60-game season, the over-under on Marlins wins was 1. No, but the over-under was what? I think 22?
Yeah.
I mean, they're at six wins. Yeah. They're at 6 wins in 7 games. I mean, it's like, yeah, you have no expectations, and they're just doing it. And they had the week and a half layoff, which you thought would make them worse. And you had Pablo Lopez throwing pillows, according to Solana. Maybe I got the story wrong. But, you know, just craziness. And now they sweep 4 games from Baltimore. It's crazy.
I was just, and this is a conspiracy theory, but when they bring these young players up that we don't know, that they bring up these old boys, they're just happy to be in major leagues. Like, you start getting these veterans, 10-year vets, and these established players, they're still upset that this is the COVID season. They can't do anything. They're sitting in the hotel room. These young old boy guys, they're just ready to play baseball, and they're excited by it. It might be an advantage that some of these guys are out.
Well, I will tell you, I think back to what Todd Hollinsworth said, not yesterday when he was on with us, but the first time this season on opening day. And Todd Hollinsworth said, you know, it was kind of like the equivalent of, if you've been there before, you know, he was a World Series champion, rookie of the year when he was with the Dodgers. Like, when you've played in front of thousands and thousands of fans, you may not be able to get up. And I made the analogy, it's like, you know, Motley Crue. Motley Crue has played arenas, you know, stadiums with 100,000 people. And so now put Motley Crue in a nightclub where 4 people are there because there's, you know, a pandemic or whatever. They're not going to give you the Motley Crue show that you're expecting because they don't do that anymore. And I'm not saying a professional athlete doesn't compete at a high level, the highest level at all times. But like you say, you call someone up from the minors, they don't care that there's no one there. You know what I mean? You bring a band out that's trying to get signed by a major label, put them in front of 4 people, they're going to give you a show as if they're in front of a 100,000-seat amphitheater. So yes. Maybe there's something with that going on there. All right, let's finish up the headlines here because Ben Volen is going to join us. There is a ton of NFL news. And by the way, Ben Volen today, for the first time, Cam Newton sat down with the Boston media and Bill Belichick sat down with the Boston media. And so there's a lot to talk about.
I saw they kept showing somebody with Patriots behind him. I thought that was my aunt going to Piggly Wiggly.
I didn't see the picture. Is he dressed all weird?
Bro, he is ridiculous. Has a scarf over his head like Little Red Riding Hood. He's just, he's. I would have bet money he straightened up. He's still
right,
camming.
Right, for Belichick.
He's, bro, he is camming up in
New England. You're right. Yeah, why is he, it's like a... Yeah, strange. He's got the little, almost got the Red Fox glasses from Harlem Nights on.
That's when your aunt wakes up Sunday morning and finds out the bacon's all gone and she got to run to the store to grab breakfast. Bro, my Aunt Barbara used to wear the same outfit when I was a kid.
That is great. All right, well, we're going to talk with Ben Volen. Finish up the headlines here, Solandria.
Yeah, speaking of the Marlins a couple moments ago, they open up a series against the New York Mets. The Mets are trash guys, so expect another series win here. For the Marlins, Sandy Alcantara.
Okay.
Sandy Alcantara is on the mound for the Fish tonight, 7:10 p.m. start time from Citi Field. Finally, last week, the 5,000th Burmese python was captured in the Everglades. The state started paying hunters to track them down back in 2017. They've found now the 5,000th.
Good 100, for the hunters. Get 5,000 more. Get them all out of here. Let's start paying people for mosquitoes. Can we get rid of mosquitoes? Do they do any good?
Yeah, they feed dragonflies.
But do we need dragonflies?
I think they feed something else, Hawk. This is called an ecosystem. Have you ever seen Lion King, the Circle of Life?
But you're telling me we have to have mosquitoes is my point?
Yes, we need mosquitoes. I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry to break the news to everyone.
Honestly, you don't think that we could just totally do away with it? You think if mosquitoes were gone, the entire ecosystem would dissolve?
Yes, I think it'd break down. I do believe that.
Wow. All right. Well, I still may fight that battle. I have not been moved off my position yet.
So you're going to go against Mother Nature, Hawk. I haven't
been moved off my position yet.
You know you my dude, but I'm going to ride with Mother Nature, big dog. I'm sorry to tell you.
Panthers are losing 3-1, 11 minutes to go in the third period. Anything else, Solana?
Quickly, weather here. 92 degrees currently in Miami. Tonight, the lows will drop into the mid to upper 70s. A sunny day right now in South Florida. We do have 59% humidity, 0.1 inches of precipitation. That is your weather.
All right. Ben Volen, we're going to talk a little NFL, Dolphins, Cam Newton. We'll talk it all. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe next on Hockman and Crowder.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You nailed it.
Hawk and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
All right, Panthers losing now 4-1. So time is running out. 8 minutes left in their season, essentially. Panthers losing 4-1 to the Islanders. 8 minutes left in the third period, down 2-1 in this best of five series. All right, let's talk to our friend Ben Volen here. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Crowder told us earlier that he thought he saw a picture of his old auntie before she was going to the grocery store on a Sunday morning when she was told they ran out of bacon. Yeah. But no, that was Cam Newton with his first media availability with the Patriots.
I said, Aunt Barbara? Oh, I'm sorry, Cam.
Why is Aunt Barbara holding a press conference? And what is Ben Volen doing there? Ben Volen covers the Patriots and the NFL for the Boston Globe. No major NFL opt-outs yesterday. We thought there might have been, but there weren't. Today, Ben had the distinct pleasure of chatting not only with Cam Newton, but with Bill Belichick as well. And the Dolphins opened the season in New England just about 5 weeks from now. I mean, this is insanity. So I guess, and Crowder and I were talking about this, Ben. Crowder thought maybe Cam would tone down the wardrobe. Yeah. Even maybe just press conference one.
Just the we over me type Patriot way thing where just fit in. He doesn't seem like he's trying to fit in.
No, and, you know, I was nice enough to let him borrow that outfit today. I wasn't going to wear it, so Cam, you don't want to look good for your first press conference. Here you go. Maybe it was. I think it was toned down with the, what do you call it, a head cover, like a shawl?
Hold on. We have a bad phone connection with you, Ben, and I don't want to struggle through that. Let's put him on hold, Solana, see if we can reconnect with him, because it's cutting in and out there, and then we won't be able to hear what he says, and then we'll be 4 minutes into the conversation, and then I'll pull the plug on it. So figure we'll get them all straightened out here.
Yeah,
because Cam, I don't care what he wears, to be quite honest. If you're a good football player, you're a good football player. Like I'm never, and I know you're not one of those guys either.
No.
But there is this notion that when you go to New England, like if you had said to me, if we were gambling on it, Cam Newton's first press conference, is he going to be wearing a New England Patriots t-shirt, you know, like an athletic shirt, or is he going to be wearing his grandmama hood over the the face and the glasses and like and I would have said, oh, absolutely, he'll wear a t-shirt. Like, he'll get into it as the season goes on. If he's playing well and he's balling out, like, he'll start wearing his fashionable stuff and his Arby's hats and all that stuff. But yeah, I did not think for press conference number one he would do that.
He looked like the big bad wolf trying to trick Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes, exactly it. Didn't fool us. All right, Ben is back. Ben, you're there? Phone line's better?
Yes, that was a better line, Channing, than I had. I was going to say he looked like a character from Fiddler on the Roof. But the big bad wolf is pretty good, too. I like that one.
That's excellent, man. So what was Cam Newton's first media availability like? I really didn't hear anything he had to say. Was there anything revelatory? Is he healthy? Is he raring to go? What did he say?
He did declare himself in great shape, 100% ready to go. Like he said, his body feels amazing. So that, to me, is the most important thing with Cam. How is his foot? And how's his shoulder? And he says he's looking great and feeling great. He looks pretty good in these videos that he's posting on Instagram. And I know those are highly edited and selected, but he certainly looks like he's determined and, you know, just working hard. And, I mean, he's playing on a minimum contract. So he's got, you know, a lot to play for this year in terms of his future and having a starting job in the league. So Cam Newton looks to be ready to go now. You know, we talked to some of his coaches today, too. Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish is his new quarterback's coach, former University of Miami coach Jed Fish. And, they barely know the guy. They just met Cam Newton in person for the first time a few days ago. They haven't started practices yet. Cam is just learning the system. So he's got a long way to go. And this is, of all the years to be a new quarterback and joining a new team, this is very difficult. So Cam's got a lot ahead of him in the next 5 weeks. But I think if he can pick it up enough and if he can continue to show that he's healthy, that he's going to be the guy and he's who would be starting for the Patriots against the Dolphins in week one.
I was just going to say, did Stidham know that, Ben? Like, are they acting like it's a quarterback battle? Because we know what's about to happen.
They're acting like a quarterback battle, and Jared Stidham is you know, raring to go. He also spoke today, and he, you know, absolutely – believes, at least publicly, that he can win the job. And Belichick and McDaniels and these guys, Jed Fish, they're not, of course, saying who their starting quarterback is going to be, and they're leaving it wide open, and they're not guaranteeing Cam anything. Willie McGinnis said it the other day that he doesn't believe there's a quarterback competition, and I generally agree. I think it would have to – Cam Newton would have to have a disastrous training camp here for him not to – be the starting quarterback. I don't think the Patriots are signing him if they really believed in Jared Stidham. And I don't think Cam Newton is coming to New England if he didn't think he could beat out Jared Stidham in a quarterback competition. So I expect him to be there. But there is a lot on his plate. And, you know, maybe he's not quite ready for week one. Maybe they do want him to be their quarterback, but it might take him a couple extra weeks. I don't expect that, but there is a daunting amount of information that he's got to learn over the next 5 weeks.
And Ben, to speak about style of play with this quarterback position, kind of like where Lamar Jackson is backed up by RG3 because of the style, like, are they implementing a Cam Newton playbook at 6'6", 240, whatever he is, or are they implementing the playbook they've been running, the playbook that Stidham learned? Like, what are they angling towards with the offensive approach?
You know, you get the stock answer from the Patriots. We always want to highlight what our players do best, and we're not going to change the system. We're just going to find the plays that, you know, each quarterback, feels the most comfortable with. Stidham is a better athlete than Tom Brady, so he's not like Brady or Phillip Rivers back there. Stidham can move a little bit. So I don't think they have to change the playbook or what they're calling too much if they're going between Cam and Jared Stidham. And, you know, if you're playing Brian Hoyer, then yeah, it's going to have to be a much different playbook. But Cam's not going to be Lamar Jackson either. I don't think they're going to have a bunch of design runs for him. They want him to use his feet and to have it be a weapon, but I don't expect Cam to be running the ball 10, 15 times a game. I think it's just going to be very seldomly used, kind of pick your spots. And, you know, the one thing I have to wonder about Cam Newton is he does not look like the same big bad Cam as we're used to, where he's bigger than linebackers out there at 250, 260 pounds. he's another one of these guys who in the last year and a half has turned to the vegan diet, and he's looking pretty slim right now. He looks like he's maybe down, you know, guessing people's weight is just a side hobby of mine, but maybe 235, 240 pounds. He looks a little slimmer. And there was some criticism or some people questioning in Carolina the last couple of years if, you know, he didn't recover from his injuries as well because of the new diet and not eating enough protein. And, you know, I remember when Kaepernick became a vegan, a lot of people were critical of him. And so I wonder if Cam can still be a big, bad, you know, truck kind of a runner, or if being a slightly slimmer Cam, he's got to change his game a little bit.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe covers the NFL. We had Mike Tannenbaum on our show yesterday. He said Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably the best quarterback in the AFC East right now. Obviously, there's a lot of football to watch, hopefully, and we'll be able to have a stronger determination. But is Ryan Fitzpatrick better than Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and whether it's Cam Newton or Stidham in New England?
I mean, to me, Cam Newton is the one guy who might be able to prove that he's better. But, yeah, I guess it's a sad state of affairs in the AFC East. I agree that Fitzpatrick is – I think Josh Allen is terrible. Sam Darnold, to me, is still very unproven and showed some significant questions last year. I know that they finished strong, but to me, Sam Darnold still has a lot to prove. And Fitzpatrick has – you know, the Fitz coaster. It goes amazing for three games, and then the bottom falls out, and he eventually gets replaced. But I expect him, obviously, to start the season for the Dolphins, and he should be able to hold off Tua for a while. And, you know, maybe if Cam's healthy, I think Cam might end up being the best in the division. But it's definitely not Josh Allen. I do not think he's a good quarterback, and I think the Bills will be back in the market for one in a year or two. And I'm not sold on Darnold, so I think by process of elimination, it kind of has to be Fitzpatrick.
And speaking of Fitzpatrick, would you go into the season, if you were the Miami Dolphins, hoping to keep Tua Tagovailoa on the shelf the entire season if you could? Or would you be going into the season thinking, I'm going to use him as much as I can?
No, maybe in the middle, honestly, to be honest. It wouldn't be the worst idea for him to sit, and I would take my time with Tua, even though he's had a great recovery from that hip. There's no rush to play him. He's still a very young kid and has a lot of football, hopefully, ahead of him still. And plus, with the pandemic and no offseason and just a weird training schedule, I personally would be very cautious with Tua. Sitting for a year did not hinder Patrick Mahomes in the slightest, and maybe it helped him. He was able to sit behind Alex Smith. You've got Tua sitting and learning behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I would certainly be very patient with Tua. However, if the season starts to get out of control and Fitzy's not playing well and the Dolphins are 3-5, but they still feel like they can make the playoffs, then sure, I mean, make the switch. And if the doctors say Tua's hip is okay, then throw him out there and let's see what he can do. So I wouldn't completely put him in bubble wrap, and I wouldn't try to have him be the starter week one either. I would hope that Fitzpatrick can lead you through the season, but I wouldn't hesitate to go to Tua if that's what the situation dictated.
Florida Panthers fans, the Panthers pulled the goalie with about 4 minutes left in the third period, and the Islanders quickly rattled off another goal. So it is 5-1. There is less than a minute to play, which means less than a minute in their season. And Crowder, it is International Beer Day, so go ahead, knock down a couple funky Buddhas, pour one
thumbs
out
up
for the Panthers. No,
thumbs up
on Beers Day, thumbs down on the Panthers. Ben was down here for long enough; he knows how disappointing the Panthers can be.
I was gonna say, how many people across South Florida right now are just, you know, despondent because the Panthers' season is about to end?
Well, I will tell you, there's something funny going on with sports down here. As we were excited about Inter Miami, and they got knocked out of the MLS's back tournament before anyone else, and we thought maybe the Panthers could do something here, and they got one out of four games against the Islanders. The Marlins, though, are the shock of the sports world. They're 6-1 through seven games. They had a week and a half layoff where they were holed up at a hotel in Baltimore. So everything's been turned on its head. Ben. We don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. Somehow the Marlins are the best thing in town.
Well, I liked how Major League Baseball listed them in first place at like 2-1, and I was thinking, hey, maybe the Marlins have found something here. Just win a couple games, get COVID, and there you have a division title.
So it's ending here in Toronto, where the Panthers are playing. I'll just count it down. 10 seconds left in the Panthers season. 5-1 Islanders. Final push here by the Panthers. If they can knock in a four, I don't know if there's such thing as a four-point goal, but if they could knock one in, they can tie it. It's over. It is over. Pour out your funky Buddha. It was a season we'll never forget, I guess. Bobrovsky's first season with the Panthers, not what everyone expected, and blah, blah, blah. But the Panthers lose 5-1, and their season is officially over. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is with us, covers the Patriots, covers the NFL. Crowder and I, we had talked about opt-outs yesterday. I told you we had Mike Tannenbaum on yesterday. The only opt-outs that the Dolphins had were Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson. The Patriots, though, I mean, it seems like half their team opted out.
They had eight guys it's 8 out of 90. But yeah, they led the league with 8, and the next team was 5. So, and the Patriots had impactful players. They lost their right tackle, Marcus Cannon, and they lost Dante Hightower, their linebacker, and Patrick Chung, their safety. So those are three pretty significant players. They had 5 other guys opt out, but they were like backups and special teamers and, you know, guys who weren't necessarily going to make the team. And that's generally who you saw opting out across the league. There were a handful of impactful players. The guys on the Patriots, Nate Solder, C.J. Mosley opted out, Juwan James, who's now with the Broncos. But otherwise, it was really just backup types and guys who were really on the fence anyway and probably decided that playing for minimum salary wasn't going to be worth it. So I think the NFL has to be pretty pleased that almost, you know, every big-name player pretty much opted into the season. Now with the Patriots, I mean, yeah, the Chung and Hightower, of the 8 guys, those 2 were surprising. But Dante Hightower has a kid who's like 3 weeks old, and Patrick Chung also has a kid coming this season. And I think he lives with his dad, who's like 75. And these guys are, you know, more veteran in their career. They played 8, 9, 10 years. They made their money, won their rings. I can totally understand why they would opt out. It certainly puts the Patriots in a hole. They lose key starters all over the map right now. But you know, it's hard to fault guys for putting life ahead of football.
And Ben, you talk about the losses, and I love Hightower, man. I like Chung too. Just those guys in that defense, they're amazing to watch. You always hear about the opt-outs, Ben. You hear the list, you see the lists, but you don't hear about the aftermath. One of the most respected coaches is Belichick, Ben, but also one of the most respected GMs. What happens after Hightower opts out? Do they sign a linebacker? Chung opts out. Do they sign a safety? What's the aftermath of 8 guys opting out to a team?
Yeah, they're going to need to sign some players as starters, because I don't think the backups they have are necessarily ready. They lost all 3 of their starting linebackers from last year. Hightower, Kyle Van Noy is down in Miami, and Jamie Collins is now in Detroit. They traded Daron Harmon. They lost Patrick Chung. They've lost 5 starters from a defense that finished number 1 across the board last year. And you can't just replace those guys right now. If they need like an in-the-box safety, the guy I would sign is Eric Reed, the guy who played for the Panthers and obviously Colin Kaepernick's buddy and big with social justice initiatives. He's out there. He made a ton of tackles last year and is still sitting out there as a free agent. The Patriots, I think, also need a right tackle to replace Cannon. They just have a bunch of rookies on the team right now and guys who have never played a snap. And I just can't imagine that Belichick goes into the season with one of those guys as his starting right tackle. Linebacker, do they sign a guy like Alex Ogletree, who used to be on the Giants, or Mark Barron, who's on the Rams and the Steelers? I mean, it's not like, there's great players sitting out there in free agency right now, but there are some veterans and there are some name-worthy players. And the Patriots will have to sign a few of them just because they have some significant holes. But, you know, they might just be kind of screwed for 2020. I mean, it's hard to replace 5 starters on the defense like that. And, to me, it kind of gives Belichick some built-in excuses if they don't play well this season. It's like, well, what do you expect? you know, they lost all these players to opt-outs and whatever. So it's just, you know, the 2020 Patriots might be a transition team, and it might not be the same 12-4 Patriots that we're always used to seeing.
Damn right.
First thing popped up in my mind when I saw the list of Patriots opting out, I don't think they would have opted out if 12 was still there. If Brady did not go to Tampa, I don't think all these guys opt out. How do you feel?
You got that right.
Well, one of the local media members here wrote a column saying basically that, and Chung did not take kindly to that and called him out on Twitter and said, "You sound like an idiot." And I don't know. I mean, Dante Hightower just had a kid a couple weeks ago. I don't know if Tom Brady being here would have changed that. And same with Chung's situation. And the fact that they've won 3 Super Bowls as well, maybe that factored into it a little bit. But I really do have to think that it has most to do with just where they are in life. Like, they've played a lot of years. They've put their bodies through a lot. They've made good money already. They've won their rings. And they've got, you know, kids and family considerations. So I really don't think Tom Brady had much to do with it.
Right. And Brady's gone and Belichick's an a-hole. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. So 5 weeks from Sunday, we got to let you go. But 5 weeks from Sunday, it's Patriots and Dolphins. There's going to be no preseason. And we're just getting to know some players now. You know, are we going to see a quality football game 5 weeks from Sunday?
No, it might be entertaining, but I don't think it'll be quality. It might be sloppy. I mean, there's a reason all the college teams start off with, you know, Southern University State for their first game. So I think it might be sloppy the first few weeks, especially the officiating might be really sloppy. They need the preseason as well. But it'll be entertaining and fun and controversial, and we'll have plenty to talk about. So that'll be good.
There you go. Thank you, Ben. We'll talk to you as we lead up to game one and hope that it happens. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Be good, guys.
Went long there. Let me talk about BNT Impact Windows and Doors, because we are in the heart of hurricane season. If you remember just back to last weekend, we thought Isaias was going to be making landfall here. Thankfully, it didn't. But this can be a stressful time for all of us in South Florida. And you throw in COVID-19, stress can be through the roof. It's why I'm always recommending BNT Impact Windows and Doors. I speak from experience. I use them to install PGT Impact Windows and Doors in my house. It reduces your stress level. I had someone over at the house this morning looking at the backyard, an electrician, and he was saying that he's using BNT. He knew me from the radio that he's using BNT for his Impact Windows. And so he said they've got half of them done. They did last year, and now they're going to do the second half. And he's like, yeah, you know, just with the hurricane out there, like, it's a totally different feeling. It's why I rave about them. And I'm not saying when there's a hurricane out in the Atlantic, you don't think about it or start to prepare, but there is this one less element, this element where you don't have to line up at Home Depot to get plywood, and you don't have to start pulling out the hurricane shutters and hoping that they're going to match up, right? So BNT is the company my wife and I use for our home. It is a great feeling when you have PGT custom windows and doors protecting everything. And I'm telling you, if you're going to live in South Florida the rest of your life or for a long while, I plan on living here the rest of my life, hurricane season's coming every year. Every year. So do it. Take this worry off your list. Call BNT Impact Windows and Doors and make PGT Custom Windows and Doors a reality in your home in the near future. Call BNT 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126. Or you can go online to BNTImpactWindows.com. It's Friday, so we're feeling good, but the Panthers lost, so we're not feeling great, but what are you going to do? Take a quick break. Come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You know, I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Hawk and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
Panthers are going home.
Gave us some good moments this year.
Well, I will tell you, since the pandemic, you know, since sports has picked up after the pandemic, although the pandemic is still going on, that's why I was trying to figure out a way to phrase that. As long as we've decided to ignore everything and play sports anyway, between Inter Miami and the Florida Panthers, there's what, 1 win in 7 playoff games, Solana, if my math is correct?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah.
Huh. That's not good.
But I have to give Coach Q. I know he's a vet. I got to give him a pass, bro. Who knew how to come back from COVID and go into a qualifying round? You have to give him the mulligan.
Well, I give everyone a mulligan. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Who are we talking about? Oh, John Michaels about Manny Diaz, you know. But yeah, I give everybody a mulligan. Nobody knows what's right and what's wrong. All I know is that the Panthers' end is very similar to what we have felt season after season. Because they needed, you know, it was essentially, you know, if you look at this five-game series with the Islanders as a way to get into the playoffs. So essentially there were five games left in the season and you needed to win, you know, three of them in order to move on, and they couldn't do it. And that's been par for the course for, you know, as we count games in hand and all this nonsense. So is what it is. So Panthers are eliminated. They lose to the Islanders 5-1 this afternoon. And we've got Marlins baseball tonight. We've got Heat basketball on Saturday, and we've got a Friday Hockman and Crowder show. So let's take a break, and we'll come back with the 3 o'clock hour next on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder show.
Oh no!
Hock and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.